of things and be better able to explain things to people. A lot of people believe in God, but they're upset, or they don't know him, they don't know what's going on. If there's a God, why this, why that, why the other thing? Why doesn't God do something about it? Why did God allow this to happen? Why did God allow my mother to die with cancer? Why this, why that? And so it's sort of like they blame God about everything, because he's all powerful and he's in control. So why is all this happening? And it comes down to the fact that God has given us free will. And the Bible talks about the mystery of iniquity. There is a kingdom of darkness. There is a real devil. He's going around looking whom he may devour. And all comes to, I guess, the overall picture. Who are we going to submit to? God or the kingdom of darkness? And we have a sin principle that lives in our flesh that's always wanting us to do evil, but our spirits are born again, so we want to do what's right. So we always have this battle inside. And it's only our personal relationship with the Lord, our love for him, that causes us to live the right way, that we can overcome everything and have the grace of God to overcome it. And so this is why Jesus said, love your enemies. What benefit is it to you if you just love those that love you? Even sinners do that. And so we want to overcome the evil that's in our heart. We have to walk in this sacrificial love for others. When they abuse us or mistreat us, even if they're wrong and you're right, we still have to forgive them, even if they don't ask for forgiveness. I know that's tough, but that's what we're called to, the Bible says. We're better to be suffer for doing good than suffer for doing wrong. And when we do that, then we're dying to ourselves and we're living for Jesus. And that new life that's in our spirit, through that experience, the love of God that's in my born-again spirit, that sacrificial love, becomes a part of my heart. And as I keep doing that, my heart gets stronger. I become more like Jesus. It's a gradual process, day by day, every time I go through that narrow gate and do an act of love. And as I do that, my emotional problems get healed. My rejection gets less. My pride gets better, less. My rebellion gets less, because I am willingly submitting my heart and all of my emotions, and emotions are so powerful, to the Lordship of Jesus. Love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your will, with all of your being. God, in the Bible, there's an all-out message. It's not a 50%. But Jesus talked about the conditions of people's hearts in the parable of the sower. Four different kinds of heart conditions. Those with a good and noble heart, which was the fourth kind, produce a crop 30, 60, 90, 100 fold. And so even when we have good hearts, we're still not perfect. We still, you know, depending on how much we submit ourselves to the Lord, we have 30 times as much fruit that we have. 60 times as much or 90 times as much in our hearts, depending on how we live for him. And so we always press on for the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And there's so much teaching that goes with that in being humble. God gives grace to who? The humble. What does he do with the proud? He opposes them or resists them. Why? Because he's always dealing with our character. He wants us to be changed. We have been predestined to be changed into the image of his son. This has always been God's plan, to bring the world out of sin and back into relationship with him, to be changed into the image of his son. He has sent his Holy Spirit, who is always with us. He leads and guides us into all truth, not just revelation about the Bible, but all truth concerning every circumstance and situation in our life. What we got to have in our heart is a desire to know truth about ourselves, to know truth about a situation, to be humble so that we could admit that we are wrong. Pride will not let us admit that we are wrong. We have to be right. My family was full of pride. So was I. And nobody in my family ever apologized to anybody else, because to apologize is to admit you're wrong, and they couldn't be wrong because they all had pride. They were had pride in their work. They all worked hard. Many of them became multimillionaires, but they don't know Jesus in a personal way. Many of them are religious, and they live their life in a proper way because they know there's a God, but when it comes to their heart or their opinions, that's a whole different level that they've never experienced before God. If they go through all the religious motions, they think they can still have pride and be judgmental and critical of others. But who will ascend the mountain of our God? He has clean hands and a pure heart. So God wants us to be holy, for he is holy. I want to share some things about what happens to people. I know what happened to me, and probably what happened to you, because a lot of people say, if God is there, what is he doing about it? Unless we understand God, how he does things, we start to question his very existence. We may have been brought up in some kind of religious belief, and so we would still acknowledge grudgingly with our minds, yes, I guess there is a God. But in our heart of hearts, in our subconscious, in the core of our being, the tragedies and the emotional hurts and pains we have suffered in this world have hardened our hearts to God, where we have become totally indifferent to him. I'm not talking about us as Christians. I'm talking about the world and people when we didn't know God. I guess I always believed God was there, but I wasn't bothering him, and he wasn't bothering me. I went to a church where I wasn't even told that God loves me or that he would talk to me, so I didn't know I could know God. And I would think, well, God, why didn't you somehow reveal yourself to me? First of all, I didn't ask him to, and I didn't ask him to because I didn't know I could. You see, and so if they haven't had proper teaching, have never been taught how to experience God and live in such a way that you can experience him, then all the garbage that happens to us in life, our hearts become harder, we don't forgive like we should, or we do lip service and we don't forgive from the heart, and our hearts get hardened, and we slowly become indifferent to God. And it can happen to any one of us if we don't keep living these principles, and if we don't keep coming to God according to our righteousness by faith and get a revelation of that, and if we don't walk in total forgiveness, and if we don't walk in sacrificial love, we'll just get a lot more head information, but we'll never really experience God in our hearts or purify our hearts. And we'll be like the five foolish virgins who had no oil in their lamp, no anointing on their life, no grace in their life. They're just become what we call religious, going through a form of church, in a sense where they soothing their conscience that they go to church, they're doing the right thing, all the exterior things, but in their heart, they're still removed from a personal relationship with God and the power of that new life. So this is where everybody that isn't saved is at. Or they have a belief in a false God, which they were taught about as a child. They believed it in their heart, and now they can't believe anything else because they already believe that as truth in their own heart. So they become indifferent to God because of their lack of understanding, and they even question the existence of God. I got two brothers and a sister that don't even believe God is real. No. One does, sort of. But they've never been taught anything. They grew up rough, had to work hard, never got anything for nothing. There wasn't really any love in the family. It was just emotionalism was a sign of weakness, so you couldn't be having emotional problems. You had to learn to deal with them. And the way they dealt with them was just roughshod it over people or beat them up. And so their hearts just became hardened. Then religious people who go to church and don't understand God even add to this dilemma with their own unspiritual interpretation of the things that are happening. For example, if someone dies, they say, oh, well, God took him home. Somebody who doesn't know God, I mean, God killed him? You know, like, I mean, that's the things that can go through their head. What do you mean God took him home? That was my mother. I really miss her. Why would God do that? Why did he let her die with cancer? Why didn't he heal her if he's all powerful? You see what I'm saying? And so we have to be careful what we say to people as Christians because they don't understand God. Plus, of course he took them home. They died. Doesn't mean he killed them to take them home. He just received them home. Everything happens for a reason. And, you know, it's another religious cliche, but they don't know the reason. Yeah, things happen for a reason, but usually the reason is in here. Our God has a purpose in your life for this. You know, something bad has happened to you. God has a purpose in your life for this. God will use it. All things work together for good, and he'll bring good out of bad things, but he doesn't cause the bad things to happen. And the way it's said is that God is making this happen to you so that you can learn. It's like, see, God teaches us by his word. If we don't listen to his word, then negative things can happen because we're disobedient. To say that he caused it to happen is not really true. He allowed it to happen, but we caused it to happen because we put our lives over into the kingdom of darkness and the devil was looking for someone he could destroy. To say God did it is like, you know, if I teach my kids, I don't want them playing on the road when they were small. I would tell them, don't play on the road because that could be dangerous. A car could hit you. I don't take them, tie them up, put them in my driveway. I run over them with a car four or five times and say, here, that's what will happen to you. You got to learn from this, son. I'm sorry I hurt you, but you got to learn from this. You see, when you think these things through, it's just so ridiculous. But then they say these things to people, and people don't know God, and they think, why is God punishing me? And then other times, we blame everything on the devil. The devil can't do it unless we allow it in our lives. You see the balance that has to be in the spiritual understanding of things to understand what God does. Or they might say, well, I guess maybe it wasn't God's will for them to live, or God must have saved them from a terrible future. God allowed them to die while they were still in some sense of holiness or acceptable before they got worse. What happened to free will? Gosh, we'd all be dead if that was the case, wouldn't we? We would never got saved, would we, Fred? I know I wouldn't have. You know, like people, and they're just trying to comfort people and say something nice about God, but they're messing up theology. They're messing up people's image of God and what he's like. And how can you understand God or live for him if you think he's going to kill you? Someone might, I've heard this said, oh, this is just my cross to bear. They were crippled or something, and they accepted it, and it was my cross to bear. In other words, talking about the cross, God wants you to be like this. God wants you to suffer like this for the rest of your life. It's my cross to bear. Why are you bearing it? Jesus bore it on the cross. One man was sort of half crippled with the one leg, and he came to one of our healing seminars. He said, God made him sick to teach him something. I said, why? To teach him something. Well, what's he trying to teach you? I don't know. Well, that's not working very good then, is it? No. You know, they just say things. Well, if God was trying to teach me something, I'd find out what he's trying to teach me, learn it, and then get healed. But no, God made me like this, so I got to stay like this. I mean, that is just weird. I mean, God says, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit so he can teach you? But, you know, they're brought up with this, or is their excuse for being the way they are because they didn't get healed? I don't know why God doesn't heal some people. None of my business. But we ask a lot of questions, and we end up with a lot more miracles because we get to the root of the problem. And so we got to deal with man as a spirit, as a soul, as a body. And is this something physical? Is this a physical ailment that's been passed down through genetics or through your family line? Is this a curse on your life? Is this an emotional problem that's causing a physical pain? Or is it just a spirit that's somehow attached because you were in occultic things and didn't realize the danger of it? Those things don't go away. We still have to cast them out. And so we you know, how long, we're like a doctor. We ask questions. When did this start in your life? When did it happen? Did anybody else in your family have it? What happened to you in your life when this came? You know, we get all kinds of, one lady had a bad problem, and we were praying for her, but we weren't getting anywheres. And I asked her, do you have any traumatic experiences in your life? She said, well, I was in an accident with my boyfriend, and he was killed. I said, is that when this started? She said, yes. I said, did your boyfriend have the problem? She said, yes. I said, well, the traumatic experience, because you weren't in control with your emotions, that spirit left him because his body was dead. It could not give expression of itself. A spirit wants a human body so they can express itself and what it does through a human body. So what happened was she was in a traumatic experience. That spirit left her boyfriend and entered into her, and she had that sickness ever since that day. We commanded that spirit that transferred at that time, in that instance, through that traumatic experience to leave her, and she was instantly healed. See, this is how the spiritual realm works. Well, why didn't God do something? Well, he's given people free will. And so if God is supposed to make everything right in our lives because he's all-powerful, we'd all be a bunch of spoiled brats, wouldn't we? And we wouldn't have to grow up. And everybody would become a Christian because of what God can do for them, not because they love him. Jesus spoke in parables so that they could not understand and therefore be saved because their hearts were not right. So God has purposes for all that he does. His ways are higher than our ways. Our thoughts are higher. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. All of these things. The magnitude of God and how he works all these things out. And he is going to work it all out because in the end, we're going to win. That's guaranteed. But when you see the wars, the Second World War, I don't know how many millions of people died. And probably the only reason that the right side won the war is because Christians were praying. So you see how important our prayers are. Can you imagine if Hitler had taken over the world? Where would we be today? All of us under communism. And not allowed to practice freedom of religion. And be under his spell of the occult that he was under. There was a spirit on him that got onto his leaders and they all got under it. So religious people are speaking out of a lack of wisdom, trying to defend their all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving God when they do not understand themselves. Who do they do not understand themselves? And in the process are not comforting these people, but are actually turning them against God even more, and in some cases, offending them. Like Job's three friends. Job's three friends, a lot of what they said was correct, but it wasn't correct for Job in that situation because they didn't know what God was doing in that situation, and neither did Job. God had a purpose in that. We'll have to teach that again one of these days because there's so much confusion about the book of Job where God literally let the devil have Adam, but God had a purpose in that. But it's not written in the book because it was written. You see, when you're tested by God, if you know why you're tested, it's not a real test, is it? Kathy and I were tested before we got into the ministry. I spent 7 days in a mental institution to have no idea what happened or how I got there. I went to Bible school to find out. Kathy went through that with me, and the doctor said I'd be in there for the rest of my life. They told her when she finally found me, they took me to 3 different hospitals because they couldn't handle me any place. I would break beds and break out of there. I was so strong. And they said I'd be in there the rest of my life. And they told Kathy, she's lucky she could see me in 3.5 years. The Lord gave her a vision that I'd be out in 7 days. And in 7 days, I was out. Because on the 5th day, or the 6th day, he did a deliverance on me there. After I promised to do whatever he wanted. You know, sometimes we want all this stuff from God. What are we going to do for God? That's the other side of the story. If you're just going to keep living your life the way you are, why should he heal you? Because there's a responsibility for having seen the power of God and then not reacting to him. I'm sorry what I'm teaching. I got to keep flowing in the Holy Spirit. I could answer questions later, though, okay? And the Bible teaches that. Jesus said, if I had not come and done all these miracles, they would not be guilty of their sin. But now that they've seen the miracles and I brought the word of God, these miracles were supernatural, only could be done by the power of God. And so they would have known there was a God, and they still didn't repent or listen to him, so now they're guilty. But he did not come to judge the world. He came to save the world. If he had judged even one person, you and I could not be healed, because if we were judged for anything, we could not be healed. The reason that we can be healed and receive his grace, because he paid for all of our sins, 100%. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm preaching myself happy again. So many times we have people trying to console people, make them feel better, or trying to tell them why this happened to them, and they have no clue what God is doing in that person's life. And it's very dangerous. And they're giving ideas or suggestions. Well, I think this. I don't care what you think. What is God saying? And if you really know what God is doing in a person's life, and you tell that person that, then the Spirit of God in that person will bear witness with that. See, that's what happens when I did a heart seminar. The Holy Spirit is dealing with everybody's hearts. And he's dealing with them. I'm not dealing with them. I don't know what's in their hearts. But I'm not prophesying to them and pointing out, this one, you got this problem. I don't know nothing about them. But God bears witness with their hearts when you're speaking truth. All right? But if you don't know what you're saying, then you could be doing more harm than good. So, as I said the other week, first of all, I believe in an all-powerful God who loves us. We can have a personal relationship. He's our Father. He has a plan for us. We can talk to him and hear from him, and who will supernaturally intervene in my life, and so forth and so on. He's just everything to us, and we have to get to know him in that way. That he'll heal, protect, and provide for me. But I found out, like all relationships, this is a two-way street. Seek him and spend time with him and live for him is important. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I don't know whether we just live in an instant world, an instant coffee, and drive through this and drive through that. Everybody wants everything immediately for nothing because we're under grace. But what are we doing for him? Are we seeking him? Do we want to know him? Jesus would not do miracles for the religious people because he said, you'll be like the man who had a demon cast out, and then the demon came back after a while, went through dry places seeking rest. See, demon wants a place to live so he can give expression of himself. And even when Jesus cast the demons out of the demoniac at Gadara, they asked, can we go into the pigs? Because there they could cause some destructions, and they caused these 200 pigs or 2,000 pigs to run over a cliff. They were wild pigs. Somebody said, what happened to the poor farmer who had those pigs? Well, he wasn't farming. You couldn't sell pigs there in the Middle East at that time. These were wild pigs. There was a herd of them. And everybody was afraid because these 2,000 pigs were wild and would attack you. They run over a cliff. And so he says, when a spirit leaves, it goes through dry places seeking rest. Doesn't find any, comes back and finds that house clean. There's no evil spirits in that house. And but there's no, if the person doesn't grow in the Lord and by the grace of God, then that demon can come back in because there's nothing in there to stop him. And he brings back seven more worse than himself. So the end state of that person is worse than what it was before. This is how it will be with this adulterous generation. Jesus is saying, this is why I'm not doing any miracles for you religious people, because you're not going to respond, and it's only going to make you worse and harden your hearts even more. That's what happened to Pharaoh, isn't it? God hardened his heart. Well, it wasn't like God was just, poof, I'm going to harden your heart. It's because he refused to bow his knee to the God of Moses, because he had sorcerers in the negative spiritual realm that did the same miracles that Moses did. And he thought he was a god. So why is he going to bow his knee to the God of Moses? See, his heart became harder because of his character. God didn't just harden his heart. It's like when you put a pound of butter in the sun, it's going to melt. But put a pound of clay in the sun, it's going to dry up. It's the same sun. It's different substance. All right? So we have to understand. See, everything that is evil comes from the devil. It doesn't come from God. But everything that is good comes from God. But it's the condition of our heart, and how are we living, and whom are we seeking, and whom do we want to serve? Who are we submitting to? Who has the authority in our life? Satan or God? We gave it to God, but sometimes we let the devil have his way because of the sin principle in our flesh. So, but God, we have the power. If we really submit to him, we have the power to overcome all the works of the evil one. But we have to apply that to our life. But we can't apply it if we don't seek God, we don't study. He doesn't give us revelation, because we have to have a revelation in our heart so that the word empowers us to be able to overcome that. We can't do it on our own. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Before I met Jesus on my own, I was just getting worse and worse. Right, honey? Yes. See, sometimes my wife agrees with me. Once I met Jesus, oh, wow. Everything started to change. But it was a battle every day. Still is. Still got to check my heart. Still got to keep my heart right. But we press on for the mark of the high calling. All right. So before we start to explain God's working and dealings with mankind, it's necessary to lay some foundational thinking. But we have to understand it from God's perspective. And from God's perspective, God will say, don't question my existence. It's already shown in nature and the universe. My people perish for lack of knowledge, spiritual understanding, and spiritual education of the spiritual realm, which we can only get through this book. This is the only book in the universe whereby we can understand God, the spiritual realm, life, our existence, and how to have victory in our life. This is the only book. It's still the bestseller every year. Wow. Do you see how valuable this is? Ancient words, ever true, changing you and changing me. All right. Last week we talked in Romans 1, 18 to 25 about people that knew God was there, but continually kept sinning, so God had to give them over to that sin. Why? Because they have free will. God is not going to force anyone to live for him, and the devil can't force anyone. So the devil being the god of this world, that word really is the god of this age. When Adam disobeyed God, he lost his authority. God gave Adam and Eve dominion over the earth. To have dominion, you have to have power and authority. But when he disobeyed God, he lost his authority. Some people taught us that he gave his authority to the devil. No, he did not, because then the devil would have dominion over the earth and we wouldn't be here. He would have destroyed everything that God had created. That authority that Adam had was a delegated authority which came from God. God backed that up. The authority that we have is a delegated authority. God backs it up when we are speaking his word, his way, his will for that individual, that circumstance, and that situation. And it will come to pass because of the cross. All right? Sometimes we have to work through things to find out what the problem is. God has always told Kathy, and she conveyed it to me, and we've always done it, that we need to be specific in our prayers because we are commanding something to happen. So we have to understand what is wrong. So if there's a pain in the leg, but it's caused by a sciatic nerve, we can tell that leg to be healed, but there's nothing wrong with the leg. It's the sciatic nerve. All right, that type of thing. And so the point was in Romans, though, that God gave them over because they insisted on the lust of their flesh. They insisted on living that way. And so God was not going to force them to serve him. He's given us free choice. Free choice. When I first got saved, somebody was ridiculing me because they knew how I had lived, and all of a sudden I was going to Bible school, and I don't know, they said something really ignorant to me because they didn't understand God. I said, well, you can go to hell if you want to, which is true. Every one of us can do that if we want to. But God changed my want to. I was trying to get to see him to see that his want to needed to be changed. Yes. Wow. There were some Mennonite guys that were running a banquet for a baseball league, and I'd played baseball, and they found out that I'd got saved and was going to Bible school, so they asked me to pray before the meal. So I get up to pray before the meal. And probably one of the biggest drinkers and gamblers in town. Always, you know, my past life. They knew all of that. And some guy in the back hollers out, "Ah, oh, Canners, we know what you're about. What are you doing? Who do you think you are?" I mean, in front of everybody. I mean, he'd had a few beers by then, but but I just got up and prayed and didn't say anything and sat down. But see, people live in that realm, they have no concept of God. Yep. And even religious people have no concept sometimes. They say, oh yeah, God can do that, but they don't understand why he's not doing it to people that they know. Mm-hmm. So anyways, God gives us free will. I want to, let's turn to Habakkuk chapter 2. And we get a little insight into what God has to do sometime from his perspective to deal with issues. And in the book of Habakkuk, it's at a time God made a covenant with Abraham. The nation of Israel came out of that. What time is it? Oh, my goodness. I'm just getting warmed up here, and it's almost time to quit. Anyways, we'll get back into this next week, but I just want to lay the outline here, is that the nation of Israel, And they got a phenomenal history in the Old Testament of worshiping God, doing everything right. Then they get a new king who's not right, and they go and build altars and sacrifice to Balaam and Moloch and all those guys, those false gods, and sacrificing their children. And anyways, they're back and forth with God all the time, but God keeps taking them back when they get their attitude right. And it's a picture of our life and our history before God and his grace. We are his chosen people. He's chosen us. We didn't choose him. We mess up, but we can come back to him. We mess up, we can come back to him. But the point is, let's stay with him. Let's quit messing up. It's a better life. The most miserable person on the face of the earth is a Christian who isn't living Christianity. Because their heart is always bothering them. Their conscience is always bothering them. They never feel good enough because they still don't understand God's grace and how it works. So what is happening is that God is going to send the Chaldeans, the Babylonians from the Chaldean nation. And it was Babylon was a very, very powerful city. And riches and wealth and luxury. They were always greedy and hungry for more, and they just attacked more lands and took over more belongings. That's the history of the world. That's the history of nations. That's the history of politics, wars and wars and wars to get more and to get more for them. And it's happened, colonization. It's happened, even when God brought the Israelites out of Egypt, he gave them victory over their enemies. But God was just in doing that and allowing that to happen because those people, they were so far gone into occultic things that they couldn't come back anymore. In Genesis 6 and 5, I believe it is, or 5 and 6, God saw that the hearts of the people, the thoughts of the inclinations of the heart was only wicked all the time, and he wiped mankind off the face of the earth because his heart was grieved that he had even made mankind. He says, he's better off to wipe them out than to let them keep reproducing and having all these demons and this demonic mentality and never, ever acknowledging God. So he's better off to wipe them out. One time he told Moses, "Moses, step aside. We'll wipe these rebellious people out and we'll start over again." And Moses said, "Oh, no, God. No, no, Lord." Moses interceded. "Would you want the nations to say that the God of Israel could not bring his people out and keep them out?" So God relented. But man, did they give Moses a hard time. But anyways, God didn't bring them out of Egypt until the sin of the Amorites had reached its fulfillment. They were so far gone, these nations, that there was no hope for them to come back. They all had false gods. They sacrificed their babies to Molech and so forth and Baal. And so they were so far gone, there was no turning back. It's like the devil. There's no redemption for him because he knew God was real. He was there with God but thought that he could overthrow God. And so this has been the history of human government. And this human government started in Babylon when they built the Tower of Babel to make a name for themselves. We built this tower. Like, they wanted nothing to do with God. They wanted to build a name for themselves. This is what happens in politics when politicians don't know God. It's just power, money, control, greed. Yes, all of it. And it just gets worse and worse. And that comes back to the principalities and powers that are over nations, over governments. This is why we have to pray for our government. But there are so many corrupt governments in the world now. They're just going bankrupt. They're abusing the people, keeping the people ignorant. All of these things, just dictators and control. And if they're not dictators, they have a group in the government that is crooked and making deals for finances and robbing the people of money. Just corruption. I just keep hearing about nation after nation. It's been that way in Africa for years. You can't even send money there to help them because the government officials steal it. You have to pay bribes if you send some food over in, or something over in a boat or clothes to get that clothes out. You got to bribe the customs agent that's in charge to get it out. Everything is corruption because they're just trying to get ahead, trying to get more. And the people suffer and suffer and suffer. And so God was just, because he told them, Samuel told Saul, through by God, that Saul was supposed to destroy all the women, the children, and even the animals. Even the animals. Because they were infested with demons too. See, Satan had full control of some of those countries and those tribes. And God said, wipe them out completely. Well, how could a God of love do that? Well, how he gave them free will. He can't force them to change. How can he leave that evil in the world so it just keeps spreading and spreading and spreading? All right? So he knows each and every heart. Jesus said, woe to you, Capernaum, was it, or Chorazin? Anyways, the miracles that were done there, if they had been done in Sodom, Sodom would have repented. So God knows each and every heart and what they're going to do. That's why he is the just judge. And he has mercy on whom he yields mercy. And he will, he used Pharaoh to show his mighty power to the world. But Pharaoh never got saved. But it was God's option to use him that way because he thought he was a god, Pharaoh did, because they all did, and he was totally contrary to the God who created the universe. And he would not listen to Moses, even though he saw the power of God. All right, so then in Habakkuk, God says that he's going to send the Babylonians to take over the nation of Israel because of their disobedience. He sent the prophets to warn them and warn them. Jeremiah, Ezekiel, many others. And they would not listen. They even killed the prophets. They refused to listen. You know who they listened to? The false prophets that were prophesying out of their own heart to be popular with the people and telling them what they wanted to hear. So we have many conditions like that in the church today. They want church growth. Tell the people what they want to hear. Don't tell them the truth, because then they might have to deal with their heart and get upset and leave because they're used to having things their way. Everything keeps repeating itself because God's the same, the devil's the same, and people are the same. It's which side are we on is what we have to see. And so Habakkuk says to God, these Babylonians are wicked. They're more wicked than the Israelites. And Habakkuk was complaining about all the sin he saw in the Israelite camp or in the Israelite nation. Even what the priests were doing and the leaders were doing. These were the spiritual leaders. And this is why God got so upset with them. And they're worshiping in the high places, on the mountaintops. They built their altars and worshiped the false gods. And Habakkuk saw all this sin and complained to God. And God says, well, I'll send the Babylonians. They're going to overthrow the nation of Israel, and they'll go into captivity for 70 years. And Habakkuk says, God, how can you do that? Those guys you're using to punish Israel are worse than the Israelites. That doesn't sound right. And God says, yes, but the Babylonians are going to get what they deserve eventually too. See, I'm looking after things. I'm in charge. I know what I'm doing. And so the Babylonians, they're so far gone, there's no turning them back. And so eventually, all the torment and horror that they're doing to all the nations, those nations are going to get to a point where they've had enough, and Babylon will be overthrown. This is why we have empires that have fallen over the thousands of years of history of mankind, because people only put up with it so long, and they fight back. And then a new empire comes in. Then another empire comes in. And then another empire. And so this has been the history of mankind. But God has to oversee all of that. That's dealing with politics, countries, nations. And he has to be just in all that he does. So sometimes he lets them go for a certain period of time before he deals with things because he has given them free will. He's not going to force these people to do the right thing. But in spite of the fact that the Israelites were taken captive to Babylon, God told his people, pray for Babylon so that it will prosper, so you can prosper. And Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, they remained loyal to God in the midst of all of that trouble, and they were lifted up by the king of Babylon because God gave them the revelation that the king needed, and all of his sorcerers couldn't give it to him. And so then they got to be in charge of a lot of the political situation. And so there you can see where God would still bless his people. Why? Because they remained faithful. But God says to Habakkuk, in the end, no matter what happens, Babylon's going to get what they deserve. But right now, I'm going to use them to discipline the Israelites. But if the Israelites are true in their heart to me, they're going to be okay. You see how God has to work all this stuff out and still be just and righteous. He's a God of love, but his throne is built on righteousness and justice. And he has been just with the nations. No nation has been destroyed that did not deserve it. Well, and in truth, we all deserve it because of the way we lived. But by the grace of God, sent Jesus. Hallelujah. And so anyways, this is what we're going to talk about. And maybe we'll get into that a little bit more next week and go a little deeper on that. Because it's really interesting what Habakkuk says and what God says. And we learn a lot from that about God's ways and how he deals with things. And so he does this with nations. He does this with organizations. He does this with people. And the point is, we got to continue serving God no matter what happens. Even in the last days, Jesus said, there'll be wars and rumors of wars, but do not let your hearts be troubled. These things must come to pass. God has a purpose and a reason for all things that he's doing. He is overseeing everything. But if we will live for him, he can protect us through all of it, and we're going to end up having a good life, not without trials, not without building our faith, not without learning from our negative experiences. I mean, you got to go through all of that. When I see what God has done in my life and Kathy's life, it's just, we're utterly dumbfounded. He's done way above what we ever thought or dreamed of. But we went through some pretty rough times, horrifying times of abuse and everything else, but we always went through it God's way, honored him, but he's always looked after us, he's always paid the bills, and we're still here trucking for Jesus. And it's going to be better when Jesus comes because we get to rule and reign with him. And that'll be for eternity. Amen. Jesus suffered, and then he was given a name that was above all names. We were tested. Yes, we were tested. It wasn't pretty. I thought, Lord, you said you wouldn't test a man beyond what he could endure. You came pretty close. I was ready. You can laugh, but I was ready to kill myself. It was so horrifying. But it was a test. Was I going to stand up to my call and all the wickedness that was going to come at me and not give in and still serve God? Many people have gone through that and said they never opened their Bible again. When I got out of that, I thought, man, I'm empty inside. I don't know what happened to me, what I did wrong. Lord, I don't know what I did wrong. I opened my Bible because I was empty. I wanted to put something in there. It was just a natural instinct. The first scripture I read was, follow me, I'll make you to be a fisher of men. I went to Bible school to try and find out what happened to me, but they couldn't tell me. The Lord finally showed me, and over the years has unveiled to me why all of that was necessary. But because Kathy and I remained faithful in spite of everything that happened, and it was horrific that we can't even put in human terms, this is why God has protected us and looked after us all these years, because we were faithful to start with, and we remain faithful. This sometimes it's a testing in a very positive way. As horrifying as it was, I look back now and I see all the benefits of it and how much it changed my life, my thinking, my dependence on God and the ministry that has come out of that, and how my mind was so open to the spiritual realm, and I got messed up there and I understand both sides now, and a lot of my lessons have come supernaturally, and even my teaching on end times was just supernaturally downloaded by God. He just says, go here, go here, go here. That's how all my lessons came, because I only had 1 year of Bible school. I was prophesied over that we would be tested, but that the Lord would teach us. That I would not be taught by men, but by the Lord. Because he didn't want me getting messed up with my theology because of the call that he had. God is just, he does things that we don't understand why, but in the end, when we look back at our life, we see everything. If you could see your whole past life, you can see everything you went through and why it was necessary to deal with our hearts or to open up our minds to him. He had reasons for everything, unless it was just outright disobedience and you suffered because of it. That's not good. We want to learn by what we suffer. We want to learn by what we go through. We want to experience more of God. And it's the testing of our faith, which is more precious than gold. Everybody's running after gold. The streets in heaven are paved with it. We can have all the gold we want. It won't mean anything. But we run after it here when we have Jesus. And we can't serve both gold and God, both mammon and God. So in the end, all that's left is God. So we might as well get that settled in our hearts and find him and seek him first. All right, so next week Pastor Praveen is coming. He's not really a pastor. I guess he's more apostolic and prophetic. But then the week after, we'll get back to this. I just want to expand your thinking of God and be able to explain things better to others. Because I've had people come to me and say, well, why doesn't God do this? Why doesn't God do that? I said, did you ask him? And they look at you in shock like, no, I didn't ask him. Didn't know I could. Like, they don't understand how God works. They just want everything to be good. And it isn't good, so they got to blame somebody. So they blame God because he's all-powerful. But really, it's their own fault because they're not seeking him so that he can bless them and give them understanding of how to get out of that. So many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers them out of them all. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What I get concerned about in the body of Christ is that the way sometimes the teaching is, it's, you know, like God will do this and God will do that. And we know that we teach a victorious life in Jesus Christ, but got to go through some things to get there. No pain, no gain. Jesus learned obedience by what he suffered. But we don't have to suffer to learn obedience. How are we going to learn it? So we have to see both sides of the coin here and how everything works together for good for those that love God. If we love God, good will come out of it. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Jesus, for providing the way for us to come into the kingdom, into the presence of God and the Holy Spirit, so that we can learn and understand about the ways of our Heavenly Father and his love for us and love for all those that do what is right. And thank you, Jesus, for having paid for our sins so that we can come into this kingdom and see it and understand it and live in it by this new life that you've provided for us, Lord. Everything centers around you, Lord Jesus. That we would keep that in the center of our awareness. Everything is about you. You've been given all authority. You are the only one that's worthy to open the scroll, to finish this thing off, to bring it to an end, Lord Jesus, because you have gotten the victory for all of us over everything. And even through our faith, we can have the victory in our own lives by your grace. We thank you, Father, for your abundant grace. Amazing grace, Father. Amazing, amazing, beyond our comprehension. Holy Spirit, lead and guide and direct us to all truth in every circumstance and situation in our life. Lord, we know the problem's not on your end. It's on this end, deception, lack of understanding, lack of knowledge, our own ignorance about how you work and how you do things, our ignorance of spiritual things, the spiritual dimension. Lord, we just want truth so we can share truth with others. Understanding, Father, guide us in our own lives. And Lord, we pray that by your grace, the power of the Holy Spirit working within us, that we will fulfill every purpose that you have for us in these last days. To this end, we give you all the praise and honor and glory, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. We'll continue this in a couple of weeks. Is this helping you?